Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. I mean, I don't care what order it is in, Alex. We are almost at the end of the year, and I think just a few more days to go before the holiday season. Everyone is off somewhere. We're going to touch on that. But to all our listeners who are listening to this, listen to it somewhere nice, right? When you're on a flight or you're in a car, going somewhere, you need a little bit of relaxation. This is our very last episode of the year, and it's been a really, really interesting year, Alex. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, hi everyone. Yeah, I completely agree. What a year it was. We started our podcast, David, this year, right? And now we are wrapping up the first season.
I know, really, Yusuf, when they say time flies, I just was looking back when we said, you know, oh my goodness me, it's already December. Where did all this time go? But I guess when you're having a good time, time literally just flies, right? Is what they say. And yeah.
We like to fly, and time flies as well. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but I'm a bit jealous of you. You know, I'm actually jealous of you this year because I've not got as much flying as I would have liked to. And when I see all your pictures and when we discuss and all the lovely, nice planes you've been on, and oh my goodness me, you know, my heart breaks. My heart breaks. But
oh no, that was not my intention, David, for sure.
Yeah, but what do? You know, and just this morning, my wife actually, you know, I got a serious warning from my wife. I'm having a major issue nowadays with all things aviation. And if you remember, I posted a thing about this Riyadh Air plane, that the small model that I wanted to buy. And I decided to use the wisdom of the crowds to sort of decide, should I buy it or not? And of course, I was told, David, you should. But when I raised the subject again, I was strictly told that I'll be thrown out of the house along with the planes, not that one plane, with all the planes. And she told me, after all, what are you going to do with all these planes that you collect? I said, I'm going to leave it for my kids. You know, they're going to make a lot of money out of them, even if they don't like planes. But, you know, that argument didn't go. And then just this morning again, I had an issue. You know, we had gone for a walk early in the morning. I looked up and I saw, wow, what's that with four engines going above us? That was the Etihad 380 coming back from London. And I stopped, as I normally do, to take a picture. And she said, apart from you and the planes being thrown out, you and the camera and the phone is also going to be thrown out as well if you're going to stop and look at pictures again. So,
I know. It's a bug. It's a bug. It's a shared passion that connected us in the first place. I'm exactly like this as well. And, you know, I was also making a post a few days ago about the best flight of the year for me. And I really couldn't decide. I couldn't pick one. And I was going through my pictures. I have thousands of pictures, and to even make like a little collection of 10 pictures, it took me a while.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's the problem, you know, with aviation. The passion is so much that, you know, it sort of, you know, helps feed you and, you know, push you along. And that's how the days go faster as well. And I think that's what makes the difference for you and for me, right? But let's you know, get back to what we're talking about. You know, I mean, I'm sure we can talk about this for hours. But our listeners will be wondering, do we have any guests on this episode? What exactly are we going to do with this episode? So I think, you know, let's not, you know, keep the suspense up any longer. Maybe do you want to talk to them about what our plan is for this episode, Alex?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do not have any guests today. It's only David and I. And the idea for this episode, this is the last episode of the first season. We just wanted to make sort of review of the year, talk a little bit about what happened this year in the industry, maybe make some sort of ranking, our personal ranking, share our personal opinions. We are not IATA or any sort of serious aviation organization. So we will be sharing a very subjective personal opinions, but we just thought to make it like a little bit lighter, fun episode to finish the year.
Absolutely. And I think just to add to what Alex says, travel aviation is a very subjective, you know, is a very subjective thing. It all depends on where you are, which part of the world you're in, Depends what airlines operate to your part of the world, depends where you're going to, what purpose you're going to. So, you know, what holds good for me may be slightly different for a person going on a business trip, you know. So there's a lot of difference in terms of what we do, and we are not the big guys, you know, that sort of do scientifically the different rankings. But I think I think it's fair to say that what we speak is from our heart.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I'm sure, and I'll say it for myself, that sometimes I love an airline, sometimes I hate an airline, in brackets, you know, when they sort of mess up my schedule or leave me behind or, you know, don't reply to me. That's a pet subject of mine at the moment, but we're not going to talk about that. But I think we're going to talk about what our experiences are, what airlines, and I'm sure Alex has her point of view, I have my point of view, so I'm sure we'll hear some healthy discussion and debate on whether I agree with her or she agrees with me and vice versa. So look forward, but we also look forward to our listeners also chiming in with what their personal preferences are once you listen to the episode. So that's where we are. And I think to start, let's take a high level view, Alex, in terms of aviation in general. What do you think was the year for the industry overall for 2023?
I think it was a very strong year. We've seen a very strong, steep recovery from COVID. And I mean, it happened probably even sooner than people expected. We had some records, I know in the US recently, that was the day with the most travelers flying on one day. What was the day? Was it Thanksgiving? Do you remember?
I think it was Thanksgiving, and I was in the US at that time. Thank goodness for me that I was not traveling on that day. I was just traveling just before that. Yeah, it was Thanksgiving that they had. I don't know how much was it. It was quite a big number.
Yeah, so we definitely, for me, I think this year proved once again that people love to travel, people need to travel. And despite all the difficulties, like imagine 2 years ago, we are like planes were parked at the airports, majority of planes. We were not traveling anywhere, right? And who would have thought back then that it will recover so quickly? But it did recover very quickly, which proves the point that it's essential. Traveling is essential. Flying is essential. We simply cannot live our lives, I feel, without traveling. In this globalization, in this modern world.
No, absolutely. And I think you hit the nail right on the head, Alex. And I think I just read something today that capacity is back to about 98% of pre-COVID levels. So we're almost back to 2019 in terms of capacity. And, you know, flights were full. Even when I was traveling, the queues were back. People want to travel. But I think it's been a sort of mixed sort of bag around the world. There are some countries that perhaps recovered much quicker, some countries that were a little bit slower to recover. But I think generally overall, yes, 2023 was a pretty good year for the industry. And I guess even the profits forecast is pretty good for the current year. And I think, you know, the holiday seasons have been extremely strong for airlines around the world. So December is going to also be a pretty busy year. I was reading some very impressive statistics from Dubai Airport also in terms of the numbers that they expect to travel during the holiday period. So pretty big numbers as well. So great. It's a wonderful year. And I hope that it continues into 2024.
Yeah, and we had observed lots of orders this year from Boeing and from Airbus, which for me it's always like amazing when I hear news like this, because I know how long is the backlog. So like hearing about some exciting, you know, order of 130 whatever planes that will be delivered in 2035. But that is the reality, you know. And that's why I think also one of the themes for this year was mergers and acquisitions, right? Because that is a way for some airlines to scale up, because if they want to scale up, it's impossible now to grow without, you know, merging I don't want to say impossible, but almost impossible, I feel, without, merging with someone else.
I know, and I think, but that's a good discussion. I was thinking about that as how big is big, So you already got big airlines in the US. You've got big airlines in Europe, and of course, consolidation still continues because the small guys, like you said, cannot survive. They have to merge, but I think rapidly you're running out of airlines to merge with. So it'll be interesting to see if the bigger guys also sort of look to combine. So, as an example, American and Delta, would they merge? Just imagine it'll be a mega carrier. So it's interesting times for the industry, but you're right as well about the orders now. The orders are not about 50 aircraft. The orders are not about small numbers. And the orders are not for immediate requirements. It's also airlines are planning well into the future. I mean, Turkish, of course, we knew the order was going to come up. But the timing is a little odd because normally December is a quiet month. So I was also surprised to see Turkish orders coming in, Lufthansa. And I think Boeing was very happy because I think this was their first narrow body order from Boeing in more than 30 years. I could be wrong, so any of the listeners, please correct me, but that's what I sort of read somewhere. So, yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. Mostly they have in their fleet a short haul that would be 320, 321. Yeah. They have NEOs as well. So I'm thinking that the new MAX will replace some older 320s at some point. Yeah.
So it's interesting. So that's been the year for aviation in general, but let me just sort of look to you, Alex. And we were discussing it before we started the podcast, and I said, Alex, oh my God, I was really jealous of all the different nice places you've flown in, the premium, the mint, the economy mint, the various variations of business and premium. So how was the year for you, aviation wise?
Just as a remark, I also flew quite decent amount of economy. It's just it's not exciting, but I did fly economy quite a lot as well.
Absolutely, and I do remember your premium economy
Yeah.
on JetBlue. Remember the one that you created your very own personal mint studio?
I love it. That's what I call a business economy. Because honestly, I feel like if I could get entire row for myself, okay, it's not of course it's not as good as life lad, but it's very good. And on long haul, let's say if it's 330, right, I would definitely prefer row for myself in economy than being in premium economy. Because premium economy is slightly better than economy. Okay, you have a little bit more leg room and a little bit more recline, but what you can get like out of three seats, like almost a proper bed, sort of. Yeah, it's much better, and that's why we see, a lot of airlines, they introduce new products. We already know that Air New Zealand, they had this couch in the sky. Yeah. Few more airlines, actually Air Astana, they also had this on certain routes. So yeah, lots of flying. I'm very happy with this year. I tried many new products. So before that, let's say I was more or less loyal to one specific airline or group of airlines, which I won't mention, but listeners can guess. I live in Germany. So most of the time I ended up flying with that airline or a sister daughter airline, however you want to call it, of that airline group. But this year I decided that, recently I observed that I'm not so happy anymore with my experiences, and plus I love flying so much and trying new products. So I want to focus this year to on trying different airline products. And my observation is that there are so many exciting things happening in both premium and economy cabins. And honestly, I don't regret this decision. I became free agent of traveling, of flying. And yeah, and the next year I will continue doing this job, I feel.
Wow, I like the word free agent. You know, and I think that's what really makes you the modern sort of wanderer, traveler, explorer, you know, where, because you're exploring new products. So, and you're learning new things, you're trying out new airlines, you're trying out new food. But you when you talked about the sky couch, something reminded me of my experience on my recent flight that I came back on. My wife and I normally take aisle and aisle, especially if it's a full flight, even though I love windows. But for a long flight, you know, you don't want to be jumping over people and saying, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. So we took aisle and aisle, and it was 3, 3, and 3. Three, four, and three. And I had a kid about 2 years old and a mother at the side of me. So that was the three row. And what she did was she pulled out a sort of like a balloonish sort of thing and she started blowing it up. I'm saying, what is she doing? Is it a pillow that she puts over her head and all? No, it was not. She actually blew it up and it actually fits between the two seats. So where your leg normally goes, it actually fits in there. And this was for the kid. So the kid actually had like a couch, right? So I was just thinking that if you were to take this product for an adult product and if you had three seats empty, you would have three of these which you blow up, then it actually place it where your seat, your legs actually rest, and you actually get a complete couch for yourself.
That would be perfect.
So you can just imagine, I was like, wow, where do people get these products from? Obviously, this is a product made specifically for airlines, for people traveling with kids. So this kid was like relaxed, you know, she could stretch her legs out, and you know, it was like, I said, wow, I wish I had shorter legs that I could do that as well, because you know how it is when you're sitting in economy and trying to stretch your legs, you're like, oh, am I touching somebody in front of me, you know?
Yeah.
No, but I think, you know, you said right, like, but this year for me personally was not much of a travel year. I wished it could have been more. So obviously a lot happening at work, which is a completely different topic and not for this podcast, but did not travel as much as I like, and I've been sort of stuck with more traditional airlines that I've always flown on. But of course, my last trip was a little bit interesting. I booked a ticket on one airline and I actually ended up flying three different airlines. One was anyway a code share, but now I realize code shares are a whole different story. They're not as seamless as they seem. Another airline that I flew on, which was Virgin, which is someone that we always see the lovely brand and, you know, wow, you know, and I ended on it by default because we missed a connection and we were rebooked on Virgin. So we were really happy and said, great, good opportunity to actually try out how the Virgin Atlantic product was. And frankly, it did not disappoint. The airline inside had the Las Vegas sort of vibe. It was empty almost, so we actually got three seats for ourselves, each one, which made it even better. So that was a great experience, which you were not expecting at all. I didn't even plan out for it. So that was a pleasant surprise. And that was my, I would say, perhaps something that I enjoyed the most the current year in terms of flying. But I wish I could have flown some more. That's all I would say.
Next year, David, next year, definitely. Out of new terminal, you're going to be flying more, right?
No, that's going to be this year because I still have one flight left for this year. We're going back home. So before the end of the year, we are squeezing in a flight and it's going to be from the new terminal. So that'll be pretty interesting when we get back next year to talk about how my experience was out of the new terminal, because I've been hearing really good things about it. And that's something I'm looking forward to this time around rather than the flight. The flight is going to be pretty short. So I'm really looking forward to the new terminal and hopefully I can go early, you know, and actually try out all the lovely things that they have there.
Yes, and you would need to report back to me and to our listeners. I'm very curious.
I will, absolutely. And I have my wife and my son also traveling. So we're going to get a consensus on what they liked, what he liked, you know, different generations, of course. And of course, you know, I like something, my wife could like something else. My son, of course, completely different generation. So it'll be interesting to see if our feedback sort of synchronizes. But, you know, I'm looking forward to that, frankly speaking. I've been through the terminal many times when it was not yet open. So this is going to be the first time that I'm actually go through it when it's operational and people are sort of, you know, going about their business, so to say. And Sorry about being late, a little bit late today for recording, but you know what happened is I was actually at a meeting near the airport and I had to go past the old terminal. And it was a little bit heartbreaking because, you know, when I was going past that terminal, which I've sort of got used to all these years I've been in Abu Dhabi, it was literally deserted. So it was like, it reminded me of COVID, you know, during that time when absolutely there were no taxis outside, no people moving. And it sort of broke my heart and said, wow, what's happened? And then I remembered, oh, no, we've got Terminal A, David, all good. But sometimes you feel sad letting go a piece of history, something that you've got used to, with to sort of embrace something new. But I guess that's what aviation is about.
Absolutely, I can relate. I felt exactly the same about Tegel Airport here in Berlin when it was shut down. Honestly, my heart was broken. Like, I missed this airport. It was so tiny but so special, and definitely New Berlin Airport is nowhere close emotionally, you know, to that feeling.
I know, and I know a lot of people who've worked in Abu Dhabi for a really long time. You know, the iconic Terminal One, you know, had a very unique design, the color scheme, it's so retro. So people miss that, but I think, you know, we move on, we look forward to progress, we look forward to new, to things changing, and that's what aviation is about, and that brings us all together.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's go and share our winners for personal winners for each category, right? Where do we start?
Let's start with one that I think is the most interesting, and I always find that people like that a lot. It's about liveries, and you know what? I was just thinking if I wonder actually who invented the concept of aircraft, you know, liveries, because just imagine if the world was just full of plain white aircraft. What a boring world it would be. Would you
Yeah,
agree with me on that?
of course. Like, I mean, it's not a secret. Even our listeners probably already know by now that I absolutely hate Eurowhite. Like, this is so boring for me. Eurowhite is a livery where almost the entire plane is white, and then you've got like a blue or yellow or green or whatever tail, and the airline logo or name on the side. And that is, I feel like this is the most boring livery that an airline could come up with. But the thing is that most airlines, not even in Europe, I don't know actually why it's called Eurowhite, because this exists in also in other parts of the world, in the US, everywhere, right? So for me, any livery that is not Eurowhite is already beating Eurowhite and one step ahead. So I already like it. It might not be that great, but still, it's already better than Eurowhite for me.
So let me guess and see which is your favorite livery. You know, now maybe
That would be
it's
so hard, right? To guess.
maybe I mean it's logically, I think, you know, it's from the country that you're based in. It should be one of those family of airlines that should be, you know, your favorite one,
Of course,
right?
I love this new shade of blue of Lufthansa airplane. That's my
It's
favorite.
blue or black?
It's blue, it's dark blue.
That was where, you know, we first saw it. It was like, okay, what happened to my glasses? What color is it actually, you know? But seriously speaking, you know,
Yeah, that was
what's
a joke. Just for a record, that was a complete joke, total joke. No. I think, David, for me, this year, the absolute winner is Condor. Like, honestly, when I first seen it, I hated it. I thought, what a ridiculous idea that is. Like, who would paint a plane in stripes? Like, why? So I think like then a lot of people commented on it, and definitely you could see it's either love or hate. So like no one is indifferent, right? And I was more on the hate team in the beginning, but then it grew on me, very quickly grew on me. The more I've seen it, the more I thought about it, I really fell in love with that livery. So even this year, I specifically booked a flight to be on that new plane, on Neo, that was painted in green. And it was very lovely when you then sent me an airplane model, Condor's airplane model, also painted in green. So I have now it on my desk, the plane that I flew. And I think that is honestly the best livery for me this year. I don't know. I think you are not sharing this love for Condor's livery, but tell us.
You know, I'm conflicted, Alex. I'm conflicted. You know, the problem is, like you said, is, you know, a plane in stripes, it reminds me of a prisoner sort of, you know, trying to run away from prison or fly away from prison. You know, I remember this video where I saw this guy in jail, you know, wearing the stripe traditional sort of thing, trying to jump off something. And then I said, oh my goodness me, how can this airline, you know? And then it reminded me of, like, you know, bath towels and sunshade and, you know, sunshades and all the rest. Come on, stripe planes. Who does stripe planes? Come on. I mean, I'm a little bit, you know,
skeptical
not
about
too.
It.
I think I'm skeptical, but frankly speaking, like you said, is it's something unique, and I think you know, being unique and different takes a lot of thought to sort of stand out. And frankly, whether, you know, people like it or they hate it or they love it, I think we need to sort of compliment whoever it was that came up with this really innovative concept of really making their planes stand out. Because in a sea of Euro-white planes and traditional planes, that stripe plane will always stand out. And just imagine a kid saying, Mom, Dad, what's that stripe plane, that candy cane? So, you know,
I heard that, you know, waiting for a boarding on my flight, I had a kid behind me, and the kid was almost like screaming, shouting, being too excited and happy, telling to the parent, oh my God, this plane is in stripes. Oh, wow. It looks so good. I think that the best thing about this livery, honestly, is that it's so universal. So remember, I posted a picture of President Biden, you know, and his family on Thanksgiving. They went on the beach in New York, and they had towels which look like exactly like Condor livery, but obviously they have nothing to do with Condor livery. But the thing is that, and that picture went viral. So Condor attributed something that existed already for, not ages, but like for a very long time, a very basic standard pattern. They basically attributed it to their brand. So now when I go shopping, I see T-shirt in stripes, I think Condor. I see socks in stripe, I think Condor. Well, I don't know, it might be me, you know, being over, like, overthinking about Condor, but in general now, if you ever flown on a plane in stripes, you go to a shop and you will be thinking of that airline now.
No, I agree with you, and yeah, and I had ice cream on an aircraft, and it was striped, it came in a striped sort of package. And like you said, I immediately thought, oh my God, this reminds me of Condor, and I need to show Alex this, because, you know, straight away, whenever you see stripes, Condor actually owns it now. So it's great for an airline to own a space or a concept, which I think Condor did very well. But I think let's leave it to our listeners also to sort of, you know, comment on what they think about it. Or maybe let's say let them choose between what my choice is and your choice is, or maybe they have their own choice. And then we'll see if our friends from Condor win. And I sincerely hope that they also come up with more colors, more variations, right? They've got, I think, correct me, green, red, blue, yellow. What else? Any other colors?
I think there are four, or there must be five.
It's four,
yeah,
I think.
Four?
I think it's
yeah.
four. It's four or five, but yeah. But I want them to come up with some more unique colors, which perhaps, you know, are really, really pushing the boundaries.
Like what?
You know,
lavender?
Pink?
Red air? Oh, pink! Oh, pink, that would be super.
Just imagine a pink striped aircraft.
Wow, that would be... waiting for that.
What about black striped?
Black, I don't know. I need to sleep on that.
Black striped with shades on the cockpit.
Oh, okay. If anyone is listening, please, pay attention to
That's
those ideas, yeah.
an aircraft ready to go to a nice gala dinner with a tuxedo.
I like it. I like the idea. But what is yours, David?
I'm a little bit wishy-washy in terms of which one I like. There are, two that I sort of perhaps are sort of trying to choose between. One is, of course, my nationalistic sense kicks in, being Indian. And of course, Air India, we got used to the traditional livery of Air India. Of course, it's evolved over the years. So when I saw the new livery, which is, of course, the window, concept of the window with gold and, a few other shades in, I initially found that a little bit jumbled and, too many sort of color things happening. But as I, like you said, is you need to get used to something new, liveries. But actually, I prefer the Air India Express,
Oh, yeah.
Which is a sub-brand of Air India in terms of delivery as well, better than the Air India livery.
That one I
So
like as well,
that's Air
yeah.
India, Air India Express, I think, looks really nice on their 737s. And I think they got a few of these other touches that the Air India does not have, which I think makes them stand out. So for me, that would be one. Then, of course, I love the one in lavender. The reason is I saw it also firsthand during the Dubai Air Show, and it looked pretty nice. It's not your Euro white, of course. The second livery is more gone in that direction, so I'm not going to talk about the second one. But the first one, a lavender aircraft, it looked pretty elegant. It pretty looked pretty nice, but frankly, from a general perspective in the desert, it's not a practical livery to have. So it's going to be, I guess, on maybe one or two aircraft as a standout sort of, livery. But I like the color scheme. I like the what they've done with it. It looks very elegant. So I'm talking about Riyadh Air. Sorry, I didn't talk about the airline. I'm talking about Riyadh Air. So it's for me, it's a sort of catch up between Air India and Riyadh Air, Air India Express. Sorry, and Riyadh Air. So these are the two sort of liveries, perhaps that I like for the current year, or my favorite ones for the current year.
Okay, I think we should go to the next section because we are so passionate about airline liveries, we're spending way too much time talking about liveries, right?
I know I'm conscious of time. I'm just forgetting time. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry. We both are so busy involved in liveries that we've forgotten. But the next new question is the best new airline launch of the year.
Well, I am excited about Beyond, to be honest, and I really hope to try the product at some point in 2024, hopefully soon. I think it's a great idea. Honestly, the idea is exists already, right? We have some few, but we have some airlines flying all business class cabins. But I think this idea is great because the airline is flying to Maldives, and that's exactly what you think about Maldives. Obviously there is like a diverse range of different hotels and type of activities, but like in my mind, I've never been to Maldives, but when I think of Maldives, for me it's like about luxury. It's about this like very even sort of like posh experience. And that fits very well. The concept of Beyond, all business class cabin, fits very well the market that they will be serving. So I think, of course, the challenge here is that currently they have 390s. They have to make a stop in Dubai for the longer routes. But I think this is just the reality of aircraft orders. And once this will be sorted. I really hope and wish them brighter future. What about you, David?
No, I agree with you. I think from an innovative concept in terms of not just the aircraft, in terms of delivery, in terms of the product, in terms of the type of segment that they're catering to, in terms of the markets that they're targeting, Alex, I think they are a pretty unique startup. And I would say to the team, yes, that perhaps would be my airline of the year. Of course, I like to remind our users that it's not just about the listeners, it's not just about the big airlines that matter. The small, unique airlines are the ones that really sometimes have the liberty and innovation to really make a difference in the industry. And many times they don't survive, but the ideas that they have live on. So yes, I would agree with you on that one. But I would say coming in at close second would be an airline of the year launch, which is actually not an airline that is launched yet, but it's been launched, which is Riyadh Air again. So I go back to Riyadh Air, and I think that's an airline a lot of people are talking about. A lot of things happening. They've signed already a lot of agreements with varying airlines, sponsorships. Of course, they placed a big aircraft order in, but they're actually not yet flying. So it's funny, and it's perhaps unique in the sense that they're doing so much more even before the airline is actually flying. And I think they're only going to fly in about 2025, but they've still made such a big splash. So I would say Riyadh Air would sort of come in for me in terms of a new launch, you know, with Beyond. So these would be perhaps my choice. Beyond, definitely yes. Riyadh Air next.
Agree on this point, 100%.
Okay, now here's another one, which perhaps I had not talked about before, but I'm going to throw this at you, and this should be an easier one for you, is what is your favorite airline of this year? Not new, not livery, just the airline, because you've flown quite a lot. So what's your favorite
airline?
Do you
think this is easy? It's like, I know you have more than one kid, David, right? So do you think it's fair of me to ask you what's your favorite kid?
Okay, so let's make it easier for you. Give me your two favorite kids. I've got two kids, so let's make it easy for you. What are your two favorite kids? Or your two favorite airlines?
Airline kids, yeah. For the record, I don't have any kids. Well, JetBlue.
I knew that.
I mean, everyone by now should know I am a big fan of JetBlue. Love JetBlue. And second one, I'll go with Air Astana. Honestly, I'm so proud to see them growing and developing. I was born in Kazakhstan, and I remember this airline in a very, very different state as compared to what it is now. And honestly, I'm very proud that, you know, it made its own way to the top rankings, because more and more I see people, you know about Air Astana. They are maybe making a slight detour just specifically to fly with Air Astana. Obviously, the network is not as big as, you know, if we talk about major legacy carriers here in Europe, right? But I'm very proud with what they are doing. And in fact, tomorrow I am flying with Turkish to Istanbul to catch my flight with Air Astana from Istanbul to Almaty. So I'm making a detour. There is a direct flight from Frankfurt. But as I said, I'm a free agent. I would fly that airline before last year, but not anymore. And yeah.
Wow, that's I think a great choice. I mean, both the airlines are really, really good choices. And I think JetBlue, of course, with the merger of Spirit, we should know about it in the first week of Jan. If it's approved, it'll be a pretty interesting sort of future for JetBlue / Spirit. And of course, Air Astana, great airline, small airline, but really they punch above their weight. So, you know, I fully with you on that.
What's yours?
From my perspective, I would go a little bit differently in terms of an airline. I would say Southwest. I've flown Southwest a few times now, and the reason why I like them is, of course, the argument could be there's no premium, there's no first class, whatever. But I find, and of course, they've had a tough year this year. You know, it's been a tough year for Southwest with the meltdown of their network beginning of the year. But I think, you know, from a general simplicity perspective, from a convenience perspective, two bags per person. I've not had any challenges or issues flying with them. It's always been a good, smooth experience. Great fares, great value for money. And I think that's what the airline model should be, is we don't add too much of complexity on it. And you know, we sort of enjoy the flight, enjoy the simplicity of flying. So, you know, so that's what I would say. Southwest would be my number one. And of course, I hope and sincerely hope that my home carrier, like you said, Air Astana, Air India, they've been in the news all year this year, from aircraft orders to rebranding to the new uniforms recently. They've just rolled out their new sort of branding in airports as well. The 350s would be coming in also this month. So I wish them all the best, with a huge population, of course, of 1.4 billion Indians. But I like to remind everyone that maybe just 2% of 1.4 billion Indians actually fly. So there's huge potential, and I feel that India was long underpunching, in the aviation sector, but now it's sort of punching up, it's sort of catching up quickly. So Air India is my second choice. Of course, sorry, I know we're supposed to say one, but we're doing two, but that matters. It doesn't matter. Okay, so we leave it to our listeners also to give their opinion when they listen to it. Please feel free to comment and talk about it. What do you think is the best airline slash travel product of the year?
Travel product of the year. I let you speak first. I'll think about it. Honestly, I did not expect that question. I'll think about it.
Okay, so here's one which I'm purposely sort of telling you, which I know you're not going to like. You're going to sort of disagree with me. And the
I
product
know
of the
which
year,
one. Let me guess. Can I
say,
guess?
yeah, guess, go ahead.
Rented closing idea.
See, you read my mind. You read my mind, Alex.
You read my mind. You knew that I'm not gonna like it.
So, yeah, that's what I would say is that I'm telling my users it's not necessary that I would call it, most useful product or nice product, but I would call it a very innovative product. And I would say that's something that got a lot of people talking. And of course, Alex and I spoke about it, that anywhere in Japan, of course, I follow them on Instagram. So I think they've added a few new lines of clothing and winter clothing and kids clothing and all that. But I wish them best of luck. And I think it's been a little bit of an innovative approach to not packing your bags. And sometimes I would love not to take bags. Trust me, carrying around bags on my last trip was a pain. And Alex, I was thinking of you. I said, oh my God, Alex, just taking one handbag, light, not worry. If we were literally, my wife and I were literally juggling bags because, the airline that we flew on had only one piece each. So that actually helped with the shopping. We shopped much less, but we stuffed a lot of things into bags. Then we were overweight. Long story short is we had to transfer stuff into handbags. So we ended up with like two handbags each. It was not nice. But I would just say is that if we were not to travel with clothes or coats, that would save a lot of the hassle. So for me, that's it's not necessarily whether you like it or not, but I think that's the most innovative or talked about product that I would see, hopefully expanding in different parts of the world. Anywhere.
Let's see. I'm very skeptical about it. I think I wouldn't do it ever, but let's see. Who knows? Maybe it will grow on me as Condor livery did. For me, I really can't decide on any product that is like so exciting, but I find one thing very practical, which was introduced, I think, earlier this year in Berlin Airport. It's called BR Runway, and that is security line where you could book your slot. This is very handy because, so basically, I'm flying tomorrow and I booked 15-minute slot for myself to go to that security line. It is guaranteed that I will go through that security in this 15 minutes. And I think I wish more airports introduce a similar scheme because it is very handy. It's so simple when you think about it. So simple, right? But it comes very handy. And what I usually do, I book a slot and then I arrive to the airport and I look around and I see if there is another line that's shorter where I just could go without any appointment. I just cancel my appointment, my slot right there, and I just go through a different line. So I kind of still like I can decide, but having this opportunity is perfect.
I think that makes sense because the most hassle that people have are all actually the queues and lines that they face at airports. So, if you're able to get rid of that, that takes away a lot of the hassle out of traveling. So there you go, listeners. You've got two choices. One you can take very seriously, and one, of course, think about it. But I would just like to add one more. I think one product that has sort of caught traction for the current year is premium economy. So premium economy has perhaps sort of been it's been around, but I think it's this year that it's got a lot of traction, and I think that's one of the products we'll see more about more and more in the years to come. And Japan Airlines is sort of launched completely revamped all their different product classes, including premium economy. So on their 350 1000, which I think they're taking the first delivery this month. So it'll be in it's supposed to be a pretty nice product with electronically operated seat rests and stuff like that. Of course, somebody had raised a question as, why do you need electronically operated seat rests or you know, electrical operated seat backs and all. But I think that's been a general product that I think would find more and more traction in the years to come. Okay. Eco-friendly initiative of the year. Sustainability, 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 sustainability has been the mantra or the sort of buzzword. Alex, what would you say is the eco-friendly initiative of the year?
I think that's the hardest for me to answer because, as you said, sustainability, sustainability, sustainability. I mean, it got to the point that honestly, like, okay, if I just think of myself, not as someone working in the industry, but just like a general passenger, like, but even someone working in the industry, I really cannot distinguish anymore where is like a real eco initiative to make flying more sustainable, or where the initiative where airline is trying to make a good impression and good image. And honestly, I'm being very skeptical when I book my flight and I see, oh, do you want to book this eco fare, which is quite common with many airlines in Europe. I really don't know, like, if I should do that, because it seems to me that it's not very transparent. I don't know, like, how those money will be then, you know, and what's going to happen with those money. And I think that is a general big issue, right? The greenwashing. Recently, a few airlines, they were banned in the UK. Few major airlines were banned in the UK for their advertising, misleading advertising for sustainability. So answering to this one, I really don't know, because I cannot simply distinguish what's real and what's not.
I agree with you, Alex. And we're going to leave this topic at this sort of ranking, and we're not going to talk about any product that stands out when it comes to sustainability, because I think if somebody from the industry is listening to us, I think that's something that we all need to, you know, open our hearts, take away the brand, you know, brand and brand CSR sort of, you know, mumbo jumbo, and really go down to simplicity and says what actually would make a real difference when it comes to flying, you know. We don't want big words. We don't want, you know, lofty statements. We just want simple solutions that actually make a difference.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I'm conscious of time, and we've got, you know, so many lovely things to talk about. Okay. Very quickly. Technology trend of the year. What do you think is the technology trend of the year that stood out in the aviation industry?
I think personalization. I mean, it's not the trend of this year. This trend existed before, and it was already a trend before, but I think this year more and more what I've seen is that airlines are focusing on personalization, on, you know, selling the right product to the right passenger, and I think it will only grow next year. Yeah, personalization, and of course, you know, AI and all of it, but even AI, it will help with personalization, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, AI, personalization, biometrics, these are all the sort of technology trends that will only get better with time. And I think that's something that the industry would benefit from, passengers would benefit from. And I think as long as airlines use it wisely, you know, it would then definitely make all our travels much easier rather than bombarding us. I've been trying to deal with a bot online for the last few days, and each time it says we are very busy and we will get back to you shortly. And then after 2 hours, I just check, there's been no response at all. And I say, hello, how are you? And there's zero response. So I think, you know, technology still has some way to go, but I guess, yes, this has been a year of AI, personalization, and of course, SAF as well, but let's not talk about that. Okay, here's a fun one. We're throwing a fun one. What do you think is the most creative menu of the year, or menu item of the year, or the most funny, unique one that you perhaps remember?
Well, being vegetarian, yeah, I obviously remember that someone was served in business class a banana as a special vegetarian meal. You remember? You, I think, also posted that picture. Was it Jal that served banana?
I think it was either Jal or ANA. I'm not sure which one of those. Yeah, but it.
Yeah. So this is something that I thought, wow, it's a vegetarian. That's not the meal that I would want to be served, honestly, but that's definitely not my experience. I had so many amazing meals. Honestly, when I was preparing for this episode, I was thinking about it and like really a lot. But also, one breakfast that I had that I re remember is really nothing special, but it was somehow great for me. I'll tell you, I flew Transavia, obviously economy, right? Only economy, it's a low-cost carrier. I flew Transavia and I was by the window. It was early morning, beautiful, beautiful sunset. I was flying to World Aviation Festival to Lisbon, and I looked at the menu, and usually I'm very picky, and I would want for breakfast some sort of muesli or some porridge or something like healthy. And I looked at the menu, and I only seen some sandwiches, sausage rolls, and chocolate bars. And I thought, you know what? I'm so healthy. Let me go for Snickers as a breakfast. So I've got myself coffee and Snickers, the big one, you know, the double one, so like 100 grams or whatever. And I had that Snickers. I didn't have a Snickers before, like, I don't know, for many, many years. I had that Snickers with my coffee, looking at the beautiful sunrise, going to the biggest event in aviation. And that is the meal that I remember, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. Trend for 2024, an airline breakfast for those of you sitting near window seats, and hear me out, is going to be Snickers and coffee, right? Not banana.
I really hope you are thinking of me as a trendsetter, right?
Absolutely. Just imagine, you know, that's unique. Snickers and coffee. You can't beat that. You can't definitely beat that, especially when you need energy early in the morning. So I'm going to try that out, Alex, the next time I fly. And if that airline does not have Snickers, I'm going to complain.
Okay, definitely. Yeah, but isn't it like funny, David? Like when I think about it, I've had some amazing gourmet meals, which obviously I remember, right? But for me, I picked Snickers as a winner. So would it be fair to say that it's not about the meal, it's about how you feel and the occasion?
I completely agree with you. I mean, airlines can invest in really expensive wines and champagne and, you know, good-looking food and all the stuff, but ultimately it comes back to food is a comfort. You know, food is about feeling comfort. It's a comfort food. You call what you call comfort food. So it doesn't matter if you have this nice-looking meal, but if it doesn't keep you satisfied, you know, it doesn't matter, correct? And like you said, is that is what you wanted to have that day, and that was your craving, and that was what satisfied you. So it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't need all the frills and bells and whistles. It's all that matters. And you know, going to what you said as well, is on a recent flight, they offered us ice cream, and it's been a really long time since airlines offered you ice cream on board. They used to offer you pretty often on long flights, but then they stopped. So it's been quite a few years, and when they actually offered me a striped ice cream, so striped ice cream, but inside was not striped, it was plain vanilla. But it doesn't matter. But you know, it really is the joy of having that simple ice cream. You know, I mean, you could get an ice cream anywhere, you know, but having that ice cream on a flight, watching a picture, it like tasted even better. I mean, they say food tastes different in the air, so I guess ice cream also tastes different. So that is, like I said, is simple, but it really brought out the child in you. That's what satisfied you for that particular point of time. So for me, that was also a highlight of having the ice cream. But of course, the meal before that was normally you have, what do you want? Chicken or pasta? Chicken or pasta? And I said, oh, here we go, chicken or pasta. And for me, I mean, I'm a chicken guy, so you know. So I said, oh, great, I'm going to go for the chicken. But this time around, they didn't say chicken and pasta. They said turkey and pasta. So I said, oh, let's try turkey. I mean, turkey is not a big thing where I live, so. And Thanksgiving, we didn't have turkey. So I said, okay, let's try it out and see how it tastes. But frankly, it was pretty nice. So that was unique, you know, the turkey and the ice cream. Of course, the turkey came first and then the ice cream. So pretty nice meal. Enjoyed it. And I think like the Snickers, I'll remember it as well.
Yeah, I honestly I love so much when airlines they also represent a little bit of their own cuisine, national cuisine. So like flying on Japanese airline, those Japanese meals are amazing. In economy, the tastiest meals. Like it's also maybe for us because we're not used to it every day. So it's like it's a whole experience. So I really like, and I think in your case they adjusted chicken to turkey because of Thanksgiving, right? You flew close to Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, correct. And that was good. That was good. It was something different as well. So yeah. So anyway, enough about food. I'm sure that we'll both go bananas talking more about food. So let's keep the banana aside. And let's talk. The maybe the second most interesting thing after liveries is uniforms. Airline uniforms are, of course, you got the livery outside the aircraft, and then when you go into the aircraft, you see the crew in their respective uniforms, and of course, Riyadh Air, and I'm bringing up Riyadh Air a lot because they've been in the news a lot. Tony Douglas said recently, he said that Riyadh Air crew will not have uniforms. So, let's not talk about that. We'll wait and see what does he mean by not having uniforms. But let's talk about favorite uniforms or new uniforms that have been sort of launched this year. Which one do you think would be your favorite one, Alex?
See, I'm a little bit of a rebel, I think. Like I always like something different. So for me, I really like new uniform. So basically Play Airlines is the airline that started this year, right? Or was it the year before? But recently.
It was recently, so we'll accept Play. So I think Play started last year, but I think let's accept that. Let's accept that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I like their uniform a lot. It is casual, but it's sort of this smart casual. So they pay lots of attention to details. You know, when I flew a plane, obviously I'm being a typical airline nerd. I observe everything. I make notes, and specifically about uniform. I noticed that even the belt has plane logo on it. They have nice like a sort of light jacket, trousers and t-shirt. I found it very stylish but also comfortable for the crew, and I think this is like a and sneakers, and I think this is like a perfect mix.
And I think it's similar to what an airline in India called Akasha has, pretty casual as well, similar casual view. And they also launched recently, about last year, so similar to Play. And I think it's pretty nice, relaxed, and comfortable because I think important for crew is comfort. You know, you're working, and it's sometimes not an easy environment to work in. So comfort should be priority versus designer. So I think that's the trend that we're going to see ahead. So
What's
let's hope.
yours?
For me, this one I'm gonna throw it out to my fellow countrymen there, and I'm gonna be a little bit on the fence. It's Air India. Air India 2 weeks ago launched a new uniform. Of course, they've taken a lot of tradition into it. You've got ladies wearing the sari and the guys wearing the traditional jacket. For me, pretty stylish, pretty nice. Gives them a sort of national sort of feeling. When you actually get on board, you feel you're in India. But I think from a practicality perspective, how practical it is in terms of actual comfort and things like that, even when there's an emergency. So for example, the men, the jackets are sort of, you've got a small, it's not, I don't think it would be comfortable as uncomfortable from a long perspective. I would rather go with plays sort of uniform. But I find the colors pretty vibrant. I find it the pride of the country is there. So for me, I would say India is the Air India one is pretty unique. But then I think, if you look at it this year, we've had quite a long list of airlines sort of launching new uniforms, and we'll throw it out to our listeners out there. So you've got Air Serbia, you've got Saudia, you've got British Airways who sort of relaunch uniforms, you've got Kuwait Airways, you've got Aegean, you've got United, you've got Thai. Thai is pretty interesting because they've gone ahead with sustainability. They've sort of added sustainable fibers in their uniform, plus kept the tradition side of it as well. So I would say Thai is a pretty interesting one. You've got FastJet, you've got Air Japan, and you've got Aerolíneas Argentinas as well. So you've got a pretty long choice, but for me, I would say I go with one that I'm comfortable with, Air India. And I think Darling. And I think the British Airways one, the new one, I'm a little bit conflicted about because it's casual, but I feel it's lost a little bit of the tradition that was British Airways. I leave it at
I
that.
like that one as well. It looks stunning.
Yep. Okay. What's your most memorable flight of this year?
I let you start because it feels like I'm always starting and then you have to, catch up that wave of emotion. So I let you start first.
Okay, my most memorable flight of this year was, of course, my first flight of this year, because it was after COVID sort of settled down, which was going back home. So I think that was my most memorable flight this year. Pretty short flight, but I sort of thought the masks are gone. We've gone back to some sort of normalcy. So for me, that was my most memorable flight because I felt like we had gone back to 2019 versus, wearing a mask and sanitizers and stuff like that. So my first flight, which was around about March this year, was perhaps the flight I remember. And we were also going to see our nephew. So in a lovely place, nice, very nice hill station. So that was perhaps my most memorable flight of this year.
For me, well, okay. I think you think that I will go with inaugural of JetBlue,
Yes.
but I won't. But I won't. We've talked enough about it. I'll talk about Air Astana, because basically what happened is that I've been dreaming about flying Air Astana, trying their new product for a very long time. Because the last time I flew with them was like 10 years, 15 years ago, and as I said, completely different airline, not in a positive direction, yeah. But I heard so much about them, so I was like, I need to try it. And only this year, in the beginning of the year, I flew with them again after this long break, and I would say that would be the most memorable because honestly, I can get very emotional on a plane because I just like the whole love, the whole experience. But I was quite emotional. I even maybe like had some tears in my eyes because I've seen how much they grew, and I remembered myself as a kid sitting on a plane and thinking very di like having very different opinion about that airline, and now it's amazing. So I would say Air Astana, yeah.
Perfect, absolutely. And more or less, we're coming to the end of it.
Yeah.
The funniest personal experience in the air. So I'll start with this one, Alex. And of course, it was not funny to me, but still, I'm sure my listeners would laugh. Our listeners would laugh. We always choose, like I say, mostly aisle and aisle, my wife and me, when we travel. But when we know the flight is not so full, so it's window and, the center seat. And she knows I like sitting near the window, but she purposely irritates me and wants to sit near the window, and I get really upset. So for her, it's pretty funny. So it's not funny for me, but I thought, that's something I remember, that I know that when she'll purposely take a window seat because she knows I want the window seat to look out of the window and to see, see the world go by. So for me, that's always funny how she purposely does that to irritate me every single flight. But I guess that's something, we both laugh about, and she says, "Yes, I know you don't like it, but I do that to make you smile and laugh." So that's something for me. I always sort of say, "Okay, yeah, here we go again. There goes my window seat."
Yeah, completely. I would always like prefer window seat, but yeah, I have to sit in the aisle sometimes. Funny, like I don't know. Am I being like a boring person? I didn't have any funny experience, to be honest. No, it was great. It was amazing, stunning, blah blah blah. But not funny. Nothing funny happened. Is it good or bad? I don't
I
know.
think it's good. I think it's good. I think it's good. And sometimes it's memorable. I mean, maybe the question was for was sort of phrased wrong, but I guess, it was like when you posted about what is the most memorable picture, all of them are, like you said, is all of them are memorable, right? So I think that's what makes travel the way it is, because every single travel experience has something that we take back from it, that we remember, we like, we laugh about. We sort of enjoy. So that's what travel is. So I don't think you can put your hand on one particular moment, because travel is all about the different moments that come together. Correct, Alex?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I mean, we've been talking, and I'm sure it's time for us to wrap up, otherwise people are going to ban us from the internet. But just as a bit of information, the two most busiest routes in terms of capacity for this year, just as I just read that today, is of course Kuala Lumpur, Singapore, in terms of capacity. Second, of course, has been Jeddah to Cairo. These are the first two routes in terms of capacity, which is, fun for us to know since we're talking about facts and reviews. But as we close, and we look forward to 2024, I think Alex and I take the opportunity to wish all of you a wonderful holiday season. If you're flying, have a safe flight, have a nice flight, have an enjoyable flight. For all of you who are not flying, don't feel envious about those that are flying. Enjoy your time on the ground. And think about 2024 as another great year for all of us. So best wishes and to a beautiful, wonderful new year ahead. Alex, what would you like to add about it?
Well, I mean, you said it all in a very beautiful way. So I don't even know what to add. Yeah, obviously, I'm also wishing all our listeners all the best for this holiday season and for the new year. And from our side, we will continue doing what we do, what we love to do, and we will be coming up with a second episode, a second season of our show, which will be slightly different, but it's constantly work in progress, so let's see. Yeah, and then we hear each other in the new 2024, right?
Absolutely. So, ladies, gentlemen, we're signing off for some well-earned break and see you soon.
Happy flying!